Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a getaway Friday night, Friday, February the 20th, 2026. 16 minutes past the hour, joined in studio by Matt Morgan. And here we are on another Friday night after a very eventful Friday morning, shall we say.
Oh, yes.
You know, if you weren't tuned in earlier today, you missed one. Because we got into a conversation on... You know what? I'm not exactly sure where it started. I remember there was some talk about Republicans and Democrats, and I don't know. But in any event, it got into a little contretemps between two of the callers, and there was some stuff said. I don't know. You know, it just went on. And freedom of speech, and say what you want, but boy, it went back and forth for quite a while. I really don't think I needed to be here for most of that. It was not necessary that I be here for all that this morning. But if anybody has any thoughts, 740-383-9944, now that I think it's all subdued, but if you have any thoughts on the earlier program today, give us a buzz, 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller.
Love your city.
Oh, you're still with us. Oh, thank goodness.
Yes. Let's characterize this the way it was.
Oh, go right ahead. Please do.
Some mental midget called in and said, oh, he must do this, something to the effects that he's a Republican, blah, blah, blah. And I called in to correct him by calling him a mental midget that I don't like the Democratic Party, and I don't like the Republican Party.
But
and he seemed to get his panties all in a bunch, and good heavens, he proved he has a very limited vocabulary, which, by the way, I'm going to bring that dictionary up there to your office so he can come in and pick up a dictionary and expand his vocabulary.
Here's what I think happened. Now, as I remember, I don't think it was the Republican-Democrat thing. I think it was some of the adjectives that you were using to describe him that probably led to the anger that followed.
I called him a mental midget.
Yes, I think that was probably it.
He was shooting his mouth off without actually knowing factually if I were a Democrat or if I were a Republican.
Well, I'm trying to remember.
That's part of the problem with a lot of these people here, and a prime example is Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Well, I don't... See, here's the thing. We just got a message from one of our listeners out there, Mary, who said, go ahead, Scott, stir the pot. Listen, I'm not trying to stir the pot. All I'm saying is I think... That's what the problem was. I don't think it had anything to do with the Democrat or the Republican comment. A matter of fact, I don't even remember what you had said that was being characterized as Republican. But I think that at times, it probably does seem to people like you might be a Republican. I mean, I get labeled ways all the time. That's okay. I don't know what they hear.
I would like to apologize to your audience. The man is not a hillbilly. He's a Hilligan.
Okay. See, I think this is where the problem was laying. It wasn't about the Republican. I think we could have got past that pretty quick.
Well, you know, how would you like somebody to say, Scott is... He's cruel to little animals or something that characterizes you the wrong way. Wouldn't you want to kind of correct them?
Well, but is it that bad to be called a Republican? I mean, I didn't think a Republican was an insult.
Not bad to be called a Republican, but how would you like to be characterized as something that you are not, and you need to correct the person that's trying to characterize you when they have no clue as to your character?
If it's a crime or something that will make you look bad, I think it's different than
so what's that got to do with somebody saying, oh, he's a Republican, and then on top of that, this idiot throwing those threats like that. Come on, get some. You know,
okay.
the guy needs help. You know, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if he was intoxicated when he called in.
Oh, see that right there. See that's what upsets people.
Well, his behavior is very upsetting. You know, I have used expletives a long time ago when making a point or quoting someone. Now, the kind of language that guy used illustrates his limited vocabulary.
Well, I think the language we have used in the past, I always say this, I don't know why people think this has anything to do with FCC. It just, if you are listening to this with your kids, or you are listening to this in a room, people do listen on their Google Dots and their Alexas and their Yetis and whatever else they have, and people do listen in the workplace. We know that for sure. They listen at City Hall. I don't think they all have their headphones in, and that's why I always say you gotta watch the language. I know we're listened to at a lot of doctor's offices and public schools. I know that because when we gave out a lot of prizes, they picked them up. Those were the people who were picking them up. And when you use language like that, when little children are around, or you're in an office where people can overhear that, that's a problem. Has nothing to do with FCC. And is the FCC really a reason that we should stop using bad language?
You know, there's a reason that language exists, but, when you use it all the time, it gets watered down and you lose the shock value of it.
Well, I just don't know. If broadcast radio didn't have the FCC, is that what we would have all day, every day on broadcast radio and television, just people using expletives all day long? I mean, is that what we really need?
People start turning it off. That's
right,
that's why that guy called me every name in the book.
Right, but I guess my point is...
I don't give a rat's
behind
penis about it.
Behind. Well, here's the thing.
No, I don't give a rat's anus.
Here's what I don't understand. Now, I always make the argument with people when they talk about government involvement. We don't want government involvement. We don't need it. We don't want it. Why do we have it? Well, this is a good reason right here. Because this doesn't involve money. This doesn't involve anything. It's not going to increase the national debt in any way. It is just the government telling you that you have to behave this way or else we are going to fine you. That's what the FCC does. And people understand that, so they talk a little better on broadcast networks and radio. Apparently, if we didn't have that, we would just all use horrible language. So apparently we don't police ourselves very well. Apparently we do need government intervention in our life.
Well, just think way back to the cavemen and when talking and words evolved.
Well, it's just a very good example to me. You know, you're okay to handle things on your own until you're not handling them on your own anymore. And for some reason, people need the government to tell them not to do certain things or to live a certain way, because if they don't, then they just go off the deep end. And I think what you just illustrated is an example of that.
Well, that guy, we need to get him some help. You know, there was no real reason in the world for him to go off the way he did, you know?
Yeah, but all I'm saying, people get angry over... Do you know how many times I've said something that somebody has gotten angry about, and it was not about them? It was... it happens all the time. When you're on enough or you say something, some people just interpret it, rubs people the wrong way. They interpret it in a way they don't like. And they twist it to make it whatever they want it to be.
And you just made my point. There are a lot of mental midgets out there.
Well, but I don't know what they are. I'm just saying that's what people do. You know, well, the mayor got very angry at you for something you said about him. And
I think it was about Bodine.
Well, yeah, but the mayor is the one who got angry.
Because of what I was saying about Bodine.
Well, he was involved in the situation.
He was shooting his mouth off. Oh, we're doing this, and our website and that. And I said, yeah, if you ever get your website working. And then that's when he went off.
Well, but it was something you had said on here, which, again, proves the mayor listens.
Many weeks ago.
Right, yeah, but that's a good example of somebody who heard something on here, interpreted it in a certain way, and held it in for several weeks.
Scott, come on now. There was only one way you could have interpreted what I said.
Exactly. So
you can't say that he interpreted it one way. There was only one way.
No, but I'm saying, so was he justified then?
Was he justified for being a delayed reaction? I would say he would be. That's why I called immediately after that idiot called in and said, well, he's a Republican, et cetera, ad nauseum.
Well, you know, hopefully it's put to bed and life will go on and people can be whatever political party they want.
What was that guy's name anyway? Phil something?
Phil.
Phil?
Yeah. He said it on the, it's not on the tip of my tongue, but he said it when he called in.
I couldn't remember. All I could remember was Phil, and that was it.
Well, listen to the replay and you'll hear it.
I let it go. I don't want to listen to the replay again. You know, he's lucky I'm not a really rotten person, because I would take that recording and take it to the sheriff and say, don't you think it's kind of like menacing?
Hey, and this is a good segue, because we're just about to talk with the sheriff, so keep listening. You might have something to say.
What the sheriff said, there's nothing between the Marion City Police in the sheriff's office, something to that effect.
Did I hear that correctly?
Here's the thing. It's very important. The mayor was the chief deputy for a while, and the.
By the way, here from Mary out here, it's Phil Townsend. So there you go.
Phil Townsend.
Good way to stir the pot there, Mary.
Thank you, Mary. Mary, I think she's the one that always calls in and is a gem.
I like Mary. Mary's been listening for a while. I wish Mary called in more often. I like hearing Mary. I see Mary occasionally out in public. Always very nice.
Phil Townsend.
Okay, I want to do the story.
Anyway.
Yes, go ahead.
You know, the current sheriff was subordinate to the chief of police, Bill Collins. So to say there's nothing between them, I think that's a big mistake, because there obviously is something between them.
Well, there's more to it. Let me read this statement. Keep listening, and we'll see what happens.
To a better evening.
All right, here we go. This is the big story of the night. Let's go to the story. Okay, the sheriff released this earlier today in regard to the rape case involving the police officer. I would like to address a few issues in reference to the Brendan Damron case. It has to be Damron, D-A-M-R-O-N. People keep saying Damon, but that has to be Damron. His attorney, Joel Spitzer, sent me an email asking that we recuse our office from this case. We will not be doing that. This crime happened in Marion County in our jurisdiction. The detectives working on the case have over 40 years experience between them and have no ties to the Marion Police Department. I have the utmost trust in their abilities, and the investigation is well underway. Mr. Spitzer has already involved the media in this case by releasing a few of the many text messages between the suspect and the victim, some of which are taken or can be taken out of context unless you know the rest of the messages and the reasons or information behind them. In my opinion, this is a clear attempt to victim blame and to pass the blame on to the victim in this case, which frankly disgusts me. No means no. I hear all the time that rape victims are afraid to come forward because they are afraid of something like this happening. I am immensely proud of the victim in this case for coming forward and the courage she showed in doing so. Between this involvement with the media and the fact that I got the recusal request from Mr. Spitzer at approximately 9:30 at night, and by the time I woke up in the morning, it was already on social media, it is obvious to me that Mr. Spitzer is attempting to try this case in the press and social media. I ask him not to do that and allow 12 jury members in Marion, Ohio to hear all the evidence in the case and decide based on that. Sheriff Matt Bales. So, a lot there. The sheriff and the prosecutor, I guess, will not be recused. Well, I don't know if he speaks for the prosecutor, but the sheriff will not be recusing himself from the investigation. And he said the behavior from Mr. Spitzer disgusted him. Now, that's pretty strong language from the sheriff of the county, and said this is victim blaming. What do you think, Matt?
Well, I mean, you know, I ought
to... Mary sending us a pot stirring. Okay. Well, Mary, call in sometime. We miss your voice. Okay, go ahead.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know that it's great for the sheriff to I mean, the statement's fine, I guess, but I don't know that it was good to say that that Spitzer disgusted him and that he thought it was victim blaming.
I don't think he said Spitzer disgusted him. I think he said his actions disgusted him.
Oh, well, I don't know, it's not the tact I would have went with, I guess. I mean, I don't know, I think that, you know, innocent until proven guilty as it goes.
Well, yeah, but I don't know, that's a tough one, because, okay, I don't know, there's just a lot there.
Yep,
there's
a lot there. That's a rough one.
Well, rape is very difficult. And obviously, if you're raped, it's very hard to come forward. We all know this. And then to have somebody go to the media and social media and put these text messages out and basically out who you are. Well, I understand they're trying to get their client off, but that's probably a reason you are fearful to come forward. So, this becomes a problem. Well, now it's become a back and forth between the attorney and the people doing the investigation, and that in and of itself could be a representation of a conflict. So the sheriff's letter, I like the sheriff. The sheriff has been very nice to me over the years, but I don't know why people continue to send these letters and videos out with very strong opinions in them, in the middle of a case.
Yeah, that's pretty much the concern I had. I mean, you know, it's not... I was always under the assumption, at least, it was supposed to be like a who, what, when, where, why kind of thing. But it's not the way it's been going.
Well, let's be honest. I mean, the police enforcement in Marion is taking a beating. I mean, Ayers Ratliff has said that the chief, police chief, basically is not above doing things that are without morals. Said it to his face, more or less, during the city council meeting. I mean, has said that the police and the prosecutor are not above manufacturing evidence. Here Spitzer is saying that something else, there's another... an accusation that's been made that's not true, you know, and then I don't know. It's just a lot of stuff back and forth.
Well, it's certainly a rough time to be in the Marion law enforcement or the justice system. I guess it's a rough one right now.
All right, well, the phone lines are open if you have any opinions. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I don't know. It's difficult. You know, I think the sheriff's probably trying to do his job.
Well, I'd think so.
But why would you send a letter asking for recusal and then, before anybody could recuse themselves, send it out on social media?
I figure that has something to do with public pressure.
Yeah, but apparently there wasn't even an answer given by that point. I mean, you send the email at 9:30 at night, and by the next morning, you wake up to social media posts about it. This is why I journalism again. You know, there are journalists and there are pot stirrers.
Who's the journalist? I'm confused.
Well, I think somebody who just posted on social media is not necessarily a journalist. I don't think a journalist would do that. I think if an attorney sent somebody something, they would call that attorney and they would say, okay, what are we doing here? Why are we doing this? Why don't you come on and talk about it? That's what a journalist would do. I don't think that's what happened here.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think sharing evidence is with the media in general is probably.
I don't think there's any legitimate media outlet that if they got an email from an attorney saying here's the evidence, my client is innocent, would run that without contacting the attorney or contacting the sheriff's office and the prosecutor's office and saying, are you going to recuse yourself? Because what's the story?
See, I don't know. I figured that sending out evidence was something along the lines of, like, something similar to, like, tainting the jury pool.
Well, that's what I'm... What are you confused about what I'm saying here?
Well, you're blaming... I don't know. I think that the attorney probably shouldn't have given it out to begin with.
Is the attorney the one who posted it? He might have.
Somebody posted it.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, well...
But that's my point. Whoever did that... See, this is social media's problem. That's not journalism. Journalism would not do that. So when the sheriff says he's trying to try this in the media... Well, the media, I don't know if the media is the problem. I think the media became the problem when social media started to post this. But I think, what's the chicken and the egg here?
What do you mean? Like
if you...
Social media? Yeah,
if
I mean,
you
social
are an attorney...
Problem, I agree.
If you are an attorney,
yeah,
and you send me information like Spitzer sent out, okay... I'm not posting that. I'm going to call Spitzer. I'm going to call the sheriff.
Got that.
I'm going to call the prosecutor.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say, what's your take on this? And then we'll get a story together based upon that.
You already said that.
Okay.
Yep.
That's not what happened here.
I got that.
Spitzer or somebody else clearly just got this information and put it out.
Yeah.
Well, then, because it's out there, the media does have to cover it. Because now it's out. It's out of the bag. Can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. So, I don't think blaming the media is really where this should be. So, you know, blame social media.
I'd agree.
But this is the world we live in now. There used to be a world where this would never have happened. It's the pre-social media world.
Well, I mean, you know, social media can't ruin something if it doesn't exist.
Right, but I'm just making a point that this is one of the ills of why media has been corrupted so much.
Well, I don't think social media was ever supposed to be, like, media. I mean...
No, but there are... You can use social media in the media. I mean...
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, just making a... Yeah.
Right. But the point I'm making is everybody who thinks they get... That this is news. That there's some kind of... Like that blogger, you know? They think they're like USA Today. This will get views. Let's put it out there. Nobody has like any...
talking about the one at OSU?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying everybody puts it out there. They have no integrity. It's about journalistic integrity. It's about it's about views. That's all it's about.
I think if you're on, if you use social media, likes.
And people get paid for this.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, this is a problem.
I mean, depends on what you do with it, I guess.
In this case, this is a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944, 40 minutes past the hour. Because putting a rape victim's name out there, or text, and how do you know if they're in context or not? You wouldn't. See, if I got an email from an attorney, and I did not talk to that attorney, I would think there was something up. Of course you want your client off.
Well, I'd assume you would have asked him some kind of questions. I don't think you would have just gotten it and been like, oh, cool, and then posted it.
But I think that's what happens. And people share it now, and it's there it goes, there it goes, there it goes.
I don't see a You wouldn't have any questions. I'd have questions.
No, I would. But I'm a journalist. I don't think the people who post it do.
Well, I don't understand the point in posting it if you didn't ask any questions to begin with.
Well, who'd he send it to? Did he put it out?
I don't know. I don't know who put it out.
We've never done anything with this story. That was not a press release at this point. Because to me, I have not had a chance to talk to Spitzer. And I have not had a chance to talk to the sheriff. So to me, this is kind of a... I don't even know. I don't know. It's an aberration of a story at this point.
Well, it's not like new, I guess, but it's, you know, recent. I mean, there's not a lot out about it, really.
I thought this was more of a story about taking shots at the prosecutor, which is what I thought it was. What Spitzer was doing. Well, apparently the sheriff's taking this very personally. I haven't heard anything from the prosecutor.
Well, I can't speak for him, but I'd assume he feels similarly to the sheriff.
Well, again, does it come down to that video that they made? I don't know why people make these videos.
Yeah, I don't know what the videos are about.
Very strange. But again, the phone lines are open if you have any thoughts here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Do you believe that the city police and the county sheriff's office are not connected in any way?
No. I mean, aren't they? Don't they have like some kind of agreement to where like the county can be in the city and the city can be in the county?
Well, I guess here's
something like that.
But here's the question:
like, I mean, they're intertwined to some extent. They share resources or at least information.
Yeah, but the question is, I guess if you just broad scope it and take everything out of this, should the county be investigating a city police officer raping somebody, allegedly raping somebody?
I mean, I think it's just too close, personally. I mean, I don't know, like, you know, actually, I suppose, but I think it doesn't look great.
See, why do you want to do it?
Why do you want to persecute?
No, why do you want to investigate it? Why is that so important? I mean, at this point, with all the folderol,
investigate. You mean like why specifically them?
Yeah. Why do they have a problem turning it over to somebody else?
The only thing I can think of is PR. But well, I mean, like, good. I mean, it's you know, you
for who.
The police department.
Not if they lose.
Well, I mean, you know. I don't know. I mean, there's... I don't...
See, this is where you can't... I'm telling you, you can't circumnavigate the media. It's a problem.
There's no great reasoning I could think of. I mean... Other than it happened in Marion, I guess.
Yeah, but now is there any way to get away from a specter of impropriety? Is anybody now ever going to believe that this is a straight up and down case at this point?
I mean, probably not. I mean, the dude was having lunch or dinner, one of the two, with somebody who works in the prosecutor's office, like, the day ahead.
But why doesn't somebody
like
answer that?
So, I don't know how you get around that.
See, and I think this is the press, it's the war of the press releases. Nobody's saying anything, but here come the press releases.
I'd like some answers. Press releases don't do very much good.
But that's that. That's the lead story tonight. 740-383-9944. Now, I'm sure those will get played in the media. And, you know, here's the funny thing. I guess people are okay to use the media when it's beneficial to them and blame it when it's not.
I mean, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I think that not everybody, but more and more people, it seems, just avoid the media entirely.
No, but they send their videos to the media and hope that they'll play them.
Yeah, but I mean, they don't have to.
No, they do, though. They want it. Why else would they do it?
Exactly. I mean,
oh, here's what I'm saying. The problem is it's created a problem, and this is why I say that I think there are certain people right now who are under such scrutiny that I think even an endorsement or even to be in their company at this point taints you in a way. I don't understand that. I don't know how we've gotten to that place, but we got there.
Well, it's been a rough time.
Well, anyway, if anybody's got anything to say, 47 minutes past the hour, we got about 13 minutes left in this hour, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. So there's that. And I guess the other big news story of the day was Trump's tariffs are illegal, so says the Supreme Court. He's not happy about this. So there you go. There's your national news.
They ruled he couldn't use tariffs under, I don't know, some Economic Security Act or something like that. So then he just ruled out new tariffs under a completely different, like the Trade Act of 1974.
So where's that going to go? Back to the Supreme Court?
Probably. It's never been used before, so there's no, like, case law on how the Supreme Court should handle it. So they got to, like ground up it.
Well, it's nice that I guess the a lot of people feel that this is a check and a balance on the administration.
I think that they've been about the, well, I don't know, the Supreme Court was kind of shaky in the beginning. But the judicial system, I guess, as a whole, roughly, has been,
well, they're forced to. They've got to come up with an opinion. They can't just say, we're not going to deal with this.
Well, everybody else does it.
But they can do it.
But, yeah, the judicial system has been doing their portion, but nobody else has.
You know, whatever, I guess. And people are fighting left, right, and sideways should Les Wexner's name come off the buildings in Columbus. You know, I still don't know about that one. I'm still not sure exactly what his crime was. Certainly keeping bad company, maybe.
Well, I mean, I guess it depends on what they find, I suppose. But, I mean, you know,
why, what have they
yeah, I mean, that's what I was about to say, innocent until proven guilty. I mean, I don't think they found anything.
But
really,
I think it's the idea that he gave all this money to Epstein, and that funded him.
According to Wexner, he didn't give any money to Epstein. Epstein stole it from him.
Oh, well, but he had access.
He was employed by Wexner.
So there you go. I don't know. Do you believe him?
I mean, I haven't seen the mass amounts of files, really, but I mean, you know, I haven't seen anything to say otherwise. I mean, I know that he was named as a co-conspirator, but I mean, I just know that him and, well, I assume it has to do with the money, but again, I mean, according to Wexner, it was stolen. But all I'm saying is, if somebody's going to steal a billion dollars, over $1 billion from me, I'm certain I'd know that I'm missing about $1 billion. A billion's a big number. You can't tell me $1 billion is going to go missing and you're not going to realize it.
Well, and Epstein's dead, so are you ever really going to get the truth? I don't know.
Nope, I don't think so.
So it just goes down as a bad day for an 88-year-old man.
Well, I guess you might have the truth now. I mean, maybe Wexner's not lying, but I don't think we'll ever know what is and isn't the truth.
No, but will his names come off the building?
I mean, if you can't prove he did anything wrong, I don't think you should take his names off the building. I think that's just ruining the man's name for, I mean, like you said, keeping bad company. I mean, you know, it's not good to...
Well, I think that ship already sailed, keeping bad company.
Well, you know, it's a bit too late now. I mean, the man, you know... It's over.
I think it's interesting that Governor DeWine says it's old news, leave the buildings alone.
I mean, I don't know what taking the names off the buildings really does, I guess. I mean, it's still the same buildings, just no name.
Go ahead, caller.
You know, there's an old pirate adage, dead men tell no tales. Arr. So you're never going to know, because Epstein's dead.
This is true, but I think the look is very bad, and I think the look is what is getting Wexner in trouble.
Well, I saw one of the interviews with Wexner, it was the deposition, I believe it was, and it's kind of strange because Wexner didn't really know how much the guy had stolen.
Well, he's got a lot of money.
Well, I mean, come on. You can't tell me Kevin O'Leary or Robert Herjavec or any of those other guys on Shark Tank, the billionaires and that, don't know how much money they have at any point in time. I think you're sorely mistaken. Their accountants and that, they check with him probably at the end of each day. How much did we make today? Where do we stand? What will we do tomorrow? Etc.
I don't know. Wexner strikes me as an interesting fellow. I mean, at some point you have to say, yes, he's tied into this Jeffrey Epstein scandal. And yes, you have to say that he certainly has a lot of money. But then why has this guy been so philanthropic? I mean, his philanthropy is legendary in Ohio. I believe he's the most philanthropic person ever in the state of Ohio. What is it in him that compelled him to give all this money to political campaigns, to hospitals, to charities, to colleges? What is it that drove him to do that on such a high level? This guy who, on one hand, had a alleged terrible association with a horrible guy, but he's also very philanthropic. Now, why?
He was the keynote speaker at my graduation, and he pretty much came from humble beginnings, and he was humbled because he wanted to go to law school. But he wasn't able to. He had to go into the family business, and he helped build the business to what it is today.
Right. So why does a guy like that support a horrible guy if you know that they're horrible?
But you just said it yourself. Did he know at the time he was horrible? No.
Well, right,
it's
but
only
that's
after the fact.
But no. See, that's what he's saying right now is, no, I didn't know that he was horrible, and everybody's saying he's lying.
I mean, it could just be one of those good old things where, like, you know, you do a lot of charity work, and everybody, oh, such a great person. That way, if something does come out, they're going to be like, well, you know.
Right, but I mean, even what you just said about, you know, he knew how much money he had every day and lost $1 billion to this guy. Well, if that's true, then he knew that he was a thief, and why is Wexner supporting a thief? That would make him out to be a liar and associating with questionable people. So he did know something then. So why is this very...
You know, one of the big things that Wexner's got going for him And it's probably going to be a defense should it come to trial or at some point in time. I don't remember. I'm an old man, you know?
Yeah, but I don't think it's... The lawmakers have said, we don't believe what he's saying. We don't believe when he says he doesn't know.
That's fine that they... You know, that's their position.
Well, I guess I'm trying to get the take here. Is he an old delusional man? Is he somebody who is philanthropic and was duped, like he's saying? Is he somebody who...
He could just be like a criminal mastermind.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, his quote...
You never know.
You know, for somebody who can... If he truly doesn't know what he's talking about, he's looking awful good in these depositions. I mean, he is saying... that he was duped by a first-class con man. That's now he's saying that. So he can come up with that thought. So I don't know that he's got any memory issues. So, again...
I'm not saying that he does, but he can use that as an excuse.
Well, he could, but I guess that comes back to the point I was
like
making.
Like what, ninth? He's 88.
Yeah, but I guess the point, and I want to come to a listener here who's going to make a point, but here's what I'm saying, is that we just said that you said he was the speaker at your commencement, he came from humble beginnings, maybe he just didn't know. But then on the other hand, you said there's no way not to know, because these guys check with their accountants every day, and they know what's going on and so forth. So, which is it? Is it he didn't know or he did know? So, here's what the listener says, and then you can answer that question. From one of the listeners tonight, Epstein used his connections to Wexner to lure aspiring models by claiming he could help them become models for Victoria's Secret. Wexner was allegedly made aware of this by L Brands executives in the mid-90s and didn't do anything about it. Remember, there's no such thing as a naive billionaire. Huh?
Ed Grazik, I believe, out of all of this stuff, was fired because of that. He was the head honcho with the Angels and doing all of the fashion shows and that.
Well, we've got a second hour here, but we got 3 minutes. So is he the guy at commencement who was just duped by a billionaire?
He could be both.
Or is he... Well, let me get this question out. Is he the guy who spoke at your commencement who came from humble beginnings and was duped by a first-class con artist? Or is he a guy, a billionaire, like all billionaires, you said, who checked their account every day and knew exactly what was going on and what he was dealing with? Which is it?
Well, that's only, I would imagine, that most billionaires are always checking. I mean... From Kevin O'Leary, Herjavec, and Mark Cuban, and those guys, they're looking, they're keeping an eye on it. They're having their people say, hey, we lost some here, we lost some there, etc. You know, it's really hard to say. You want to hopefully believe a philanthropic guy, but that could as well be a front for devious activities, you know? It's hard to really tell.
Well, but see, what do we see? Here's the thing, though. Then this comes to the actual crime. Okay, if we're going to get past that, he funded a horrible guy. What horrible acts did Wexner do himself? Was he on the island? Was he with the women? Did he pay to have relations with underage women?
Well, I think
that's the crime.
I think if he knew what Epstein was up to and funded him anyways, I mean, that's guilty by association. I don't care. That's...
Right, no, but that's not my question. He funded him. Well, he's admitting he funded him. He's saying he was duped.
Did I not hear some of the story, though, that some people who visited the island weren't even around the debauchery that was going on, because the island was such that you could be at one place and it's kind of like maybe normal, whereas another place it might be like one of P. Diddy's freakouts.
Well, I tell you what, we're coming up on a break in 30 seconds, but we're going to talk more about this when we come back. But think about this, the Clintons are going to testify, and there was a news story out today that everybody thinks Bill Clinton's guilty of something, that Bill Clinton is going to tell all now, and it's not incriminating to him, that basically he's going to tell exactly what he knows, and the people that he knew who were involved with Wexner, and this could be a
Epstein
serious or Epstein or Epstein, yes, and that's going to be a serious list of people. Yeah, well, you know what? It's been a day. We're coming.
Your tongue is getting tired.
I'm trying to beat the clock. We'll be back right after this. Don't go anywhere.
Unique.
I made it up.
Really?
My name is Margaret.